hate that. Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. How y'all doing today? We're gonna have a pretty good show today, I think, and we got some things all worked out and everything else. A little confusing going on today, but we got it all worked out, so everything's working really good today. We're doing a show, and basically the title of the show today is spirituality and sexuality, are they the same or one? So we're also going to have Kevin and Kathy from Love Psychic Radio, which is another show here on Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to introduce them in just a minute here. But today's show is basically our topics about that, with sexuality and spirituality, which is a very deep subject. Not everybody talks about it, but if you ever really got into Kama Sutra and things like that, you'll understand what I'm talking about. A lot of them explain about connections, a little more deeper connections. And we'll get into that in just a minute, but we're also, today we're also having, like we always do on every show, we are to the 10th caller who calls in. You're also getting a 45-minute reading free with me, so call in, be the 10th caller, and try to win that. Also, we're doing free readings today, so call in with your questions. Please leave your questions to at least two so we can get to everybody. Also, with the situation going on, like I said before, also you can call in questions and any comments about the situation you want to go on and that kind of thing, but you're more welcome to call in and ask about anything, even if you have a dream to interpret or anything like that. So call in and do that. And, right now, I'm going to introduce Kathy and Kevin. They have a show here on live on Blog Talk Radio called Love Psychic Radio. They're on Thursdays at 12 p.m. Mountain Time. They've been together for 6 years and are engaged to be married. They say if they can make it as a couple, that anyone can. Then they attribute their success of their relationship to their sharing spirituality, telling the truth, and a willingness to open to change. So I'd like to introduce them right now and bring them on the line. Let me see if I get this right. Here we go. I missed it. I'm having a little problems here. Let's try this again. All right. Hello?
Hi. Can
you
hear me?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, I can hear you clearly.
I'm glad we're not the only ones having problems with the switchboard.
Yeah, because I kept on pushing on the part where you do the microphone, and it keeps on jumping. So I was like, I've had to hit it twice. So hey, welcome to the show.
Your show is jumping.
Yes. Like I said, welcome to the show. Appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your insights with us.
Well, thank you. We're glad to be here.
Okay, no problem. In case for people out there who don't know who you are or haven't heard your show, why don't you give us a little insight of who you are and your significant other, Kevin?
Okay. I'll tell you that I made a mistake when I gave you my bio, Psychic Journeyman. It's actually 1 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time. For some reason, I thought Mountain and Pacific were on the same time zone right now, but they're not. So it's called Love Psychic Radio here at Blog Talk Radio every Thursday at 1 o'clock for an hour.
Okay. And I guess you give advice on anything that has to do with love and relationships in general, huh?
We know about everything.
Right? Okay.
Well, here's what we do. When people call into the show, we have a topic every week. It's a new topic. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it and how that applies in their current life. And then they're free to ask a question. And because we specialize in romance and relationships, most of the questions we receive are about relationships.
Right.
And we're kind of common sense people. We're two people who met online before it was fashionable. It'll be 7 years in March. And he had this great picture up that said, writing engineer. And we both ride Harleys. So we're Harley riding psychics.
But it's Photoshop, so I made myself look attractive.
Oh, he looked really good.
Oh, okay.
So we met online, started dating, and he was just as psychic as I was. And I had started the show. He was working full-time, and he's now semi-retired. So we now do the show together. And he is really good at picking up things psychically that I don't always catch. So we're a pretty good complement.
The show has improved dramatically in the past couple months.
That's when he joined.
It's because of what?
And one thing good about the show is that Kathy gives the female perspective on it, and I'm not afraid to contradict her with how the guys think about it. So we're, you know, Mars and Venus thing.
Yeah, that's a good point, because some people try to give advice to men who are not men, and sometimes it doesn't work because they have no idea what men do. Men think sometimes.
There was a girl that called in yesterday, and she had gone over to Ireland and chance met. She just went on a whim, and in the middle of it wasn't Dublin, it was Belfast. She
no,
ran
no,
into
it was
a
Dublin.
Guy.
It was Dublin.
Was it Dublin?
Yeah.
She ran into a guy, and I think she scared him.
Right.
Because they were real good friends, but it's kind of like petered out now.
No.
She showed up unexpectedly, and Kathy was saying, you know, let it lie, let him get used to it, he'll contact you, and I said, no, he won't. send him an email, a Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving, was lovely to see, I hope I didn't scare you type thing, and Kathy goes, no! Don't do that. And I said, oh, yeah, you got to.
No, you got to do it by phone because things are misconstrued when they're done by email or by text. You don't get
the guys.
Not for the guys?
Right. No, because that just puts a nice little foot in the door. That's good.
What do you say, psychic journeyman?
I think when it comes to situations, they should either be done in face-to-face or on the phone. Because texting has a tendency to be misconstrued because men look at certain words and try to interpret them the way they think they should be interpreted instead of looking at them for what they really are. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Kathy thinks so, but I believe that dropping them a nice line email, not text message. I don't like text messages.
Which was their
email? He can ignore it if he wants.
That was their standard mode of communication, right, Kevin?
I'm just saying. I'm
yeah,
all that.
If you get a phone call, you got to answer it.
Yeah, I pretend these other.
You know, and you might not want to, but an email you can peruse at your leisure and ascertain the meaning in it and think about it, meditate on it, see what's going on and how you feel about it, and you can measure your response much more effectively if you have time to ponder it.
Hey, psychic journeyman, we're Jabberjaws, so jump in there
no
anytime.
Well, it's like this. We have a two-hour show, so I'm good. So,
okay.
Well, I'm just saying, with the situation, when I look at relationships, and one thing I look at a relationship and know it's really good, is when you have two people who can express their feelings and not really care about the other person, how they're going to react, because they already know. It's a respect toward each other, that this person has a different perspective and that person doesn't, and then they come together.
It's interesting you brought that very topic up, psychic journeyman, because Kevin is very diplomatic, and he's a Leo, and he gets along really well with people, and I'm an Aquarian who just blurts out the truth without thinking. And
right.
so the fact that you have just brought that up is a big problem in a lot of relationships. One will say, gee, that hurts my feelings, quit being so honest. And the other one will say, quit beating around the bush and
mm-hmm.
just tell me what you really mean. So it's that way in astrology for opposite signs. Leo and Aquarius are opposite. So
mm-hmm.
you're a Taurus, right?
Right.
Have you ever had a relationship with a Scorpio, your opposite sign?
Yeah, she irritated me. So she was just a person that had this thing. She had her life figured out, and she just figured everybody else should go along with that, and not realizing everybody else has a different perspective on their own life. And I was just looking for someone to combine it with. And she wanted to turn to go, well, this way we're going to tell, huh? Okay, so who put you to the forefront? I thought it was like a mutual thing. Because I tell people, I do a lot of relationship counseling. My biggest thing is not the idea of people giving in, but compromising. And getting to a point where it's like they both agree on it. And, yeah, this is what we're going to do. Not one person's going to give in. And the other person gets what they want. So it's like, it might take 2 hours, but I just look at them and say, well, that's what you need to do. You need to talk about it.
That's how Kevin and I are. That's our story. The opposite, one usually tries to take charge, and the other one's saying, you're not in charge.
And the idea of being honest enough to say that, too.
Well, yeah. You can have a difference of opinion and still respect the other person's opinion. I immediately went to, Taurus, the sign of the zodiac most likely to be offended by the rest of the signs of the zodiac, but I didn't go there.
No, they're not. Taurus are very patient. But they're so stubborn, and when you put a Taurus up against a Scorpio, it's like who's in charge, the quiet one or the devious one?
Some people, and sometimes in the situations too, Scorpios and Geminis, I've noticed that they have a tendency to get jealous of the other one when the other one is doing things that they want to do instead of actually going out there and going, okay, I can do that too. It's just because I always look at them and say, I'm just an example. Just because I'm doing it doesn't mean you can't do it. And the point of being jealous is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, almost like telling yourself I can't do it, so therefore I'm going to envy this person. And, because I was actually in a relationship with a Gemini for about 2 years, and it started off really well, really good, and even to the point where she was very open about, I have problems, I want you to help me work them out.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and work together and that kind of stuff. But then when it came to the point of helping her with the situations and the problems, she got stubborn and said, well, I don't think that's the problem. And I'm like, okay. People really confuse me sometimes. And she goes, what do you mean people? I said, well, there's a couple of you guys that sit there and look at me, ask me because you don't know. You have no idea which way to go. You don't know what the answer is. Then I give you the answer, and then you tell me that's not it. And I'm trying to figure out, where's the frame line? Where are you coming from? What's your basis for telling me no, that's not it? We didn't have no idea in the place.
Kevin, do you want to tell them about the Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius know-it-alls?
No. I wanted to jump in and say I have never recommended that people who are in a relationship help each other out with their problems. That's a recipe for disaster.
Right.
Why?
You can point them in the right directions, but no.
Yeah.
No. Be very careful about that, because it's easy to sound like you're
a know-it-all.
Being controlling and yeah. So
yeah,
you can suggest that they might read a book or something on this, or you saw an interesting article. I generally get some interesting email and just forward it to Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of it. I'm not telling her what to do. She can either delete it or follow it. Much like the guy in Belfast or in Dublin or wherever it was.
Yeah, I just use these things as a learning experience as well for the clients I work with. And when I do this show, just things I've gone through to help people understand, you know, I've done it too. So therefore, this is my solution, how I got out of it or how I got through it. Because when I was with her, it was like a learning experience that when I talked to other people when I was doing relationship counseling with them and say, hey, you know, this is why we should come into relationships baggage-free, so therefore you can actually enjoy the relationship and just go on and enjoy it.
Well, you know, psychic...
That was our topic 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it was. And, you know, psychic journeyman, when the three of us are in the same business, we're all three of us psychic, We are all in the helping professions, and I am shocked at how many people want advice but do not want to take action on it.
Right.
And if you know from personal experience, like you were just saying, hey, I was in this before just like you, and this is what worked. And if it's not what they're looking for, often they won't take the advice. And, of course, that's free will, but I'm really shocked at how many people want readings, and when they are given solutions to a problem, do not want to follow through.
Yeah, I know. The one thing I wanted to share with everybody was the idea of doing this kind of work is the idea of putting yourself in a situation where you're helping people, but you don't know how it's going to go sometimes. You do, but you still go there anyway. But sometimes there are kind of things that kind of surprise us too. I told a friend of mine, I was like, I don't know every freaking thing. If I did, I think I'd go nuts. I'm constantly learning. But see, my biggest thing with everybody else is like I've actually sat down with church groups. When I lived in Colorado, I had a shop, and there was a church right behind me. And I did nothing but psychic readings and did angel card readings and all kinds of stuff. And I don't think it was one day that someone didn't come by and try to tell me how I was doing something wrong. And I always tell people, you know that you're in the right profession when you can sit there and look at those people and tell them exactly why you're there and why you feel like you should be doing this work. Mm-hmm. And then they sit there and look at you and they're actually listening to you. So you know you're doing something right, because I had four boys come in one day and they were just like, you know, do you feel like you're doing something wrong? No, I don't. I really don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong. They said, do you believe in God? I said, yes, I do. I sit there and talk for almost 20 minutes, and I was like surprised because these guys actually listened to me. And then, but they always come back with one comment. They said, okay, do you believe in the devil? And I said, no, I don't. And they go, well, he exists. I said, well, let me explain something to you. I never said he didn't exist. I just don't believe in him. Mm-hmm. I only believe in one, and that's God. I said, I feel like Jesus is always walking behind me. I feel like there's angels always around me. And I said, if you look at Psalms, I think it's Psalms 91, I think, where it says God gives angels charge over us. I said, that doesn't tell you something about the connection and communication and what you have, what kind of protection you have around you. Then you're not listening, and you're just out there telling everybody, this is what the Bible says. That's great. But the Bible is like a map. You go to that map and zip it into you, figure out your own. You don't carry it with you everywhere you go. It's like no record to go in, and you have it. So you don't have to go look at it all the time.
I think the consciousness of the public is beginning to change. But my own family, who two of them are now deceased, in the last 5 or 8 years, something like that. And they're church-going members. My mom is as well. And they had a really hard time with psychic work, claiming it was the work of the devil. And I'd say, you know, you didn't take time to even find out what it is I'm doing, or if I'm helping, or if I'm giving credit to God or anything. You just assumed that that I was bad. So a lot of people in this line of work do find problems with the religious community. And when I bring up astrology, I remind them that the three wise men who helped Mary and Joseph not go back to town were astrologers. So I don't know. It's frightening. Our work is frightening to some people.
Well, that's one of the advantages of a closed mind.
I wish I could go out there and find. There's a CD I saw about a couple of years ago at New Year's Eve. The CD, and this guy got the CD, and it basically this Christian guy proves, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was born on the 25th, at the same and exactly when he was supposed to. And what's so funny about it was, he said he had a hard time dealing with it when he first started to sort the information out and to prove it, because he had to use astrology to do it.
Oh.
He figured when the stars come together, when Jesus was born, if you look at the stars and you look at the star charts, then the stars will tell you that a virgin mother will give birth to a child that will change the world. Now, if you go to Easter, you also find in the astrology charts, too, it says that the virgin mother has lost their son for a rebirth. So, you know, the stars, because it says in the Bible in lots of places, it says, look to the heavens. It doesn't say look to heaven. It says look to the heavens. It's saying look into the stars. So, you know, we sit there and look at them. It's just kind of amazing, and I just tried to find that teaching. But I thought it was kind of amazing that this Christian guy had this kind of stigmatism about astrology. Astrology is bad. Can't do that. And then he said he started getting into this whole thing, and the only way he could prove his point was to use astrology. So that was different.
Yeah, it is different.
But it made people think, and everybody started looking at it. But then I started talking about psychic work, and they still looked at me in a bad way. I hear I'm in a group of people who just got done watching a CD, and I'm talking about the stuff that I'm doing, which is basically, you know, in the same kind of format. And next thing I know, you're still getting a lot of prejudice.
Well, maybe we're just ahead of our time.
One thing I consider interesting is I had a friend of mine, and before I chose to become semi-employed, I was an engineer. And, you know, kind of all things scientific. And a friend of mine said, how do you and Kathy possibly get along? Because you're kind of very analytical and got to have things proven to you, and you're an engineer, and she's delving into the psychic realm. Mm-hmm. And my explanation was that, well, fortunately, I'm not so conceited to think that something that I am not totally aware of cannot exist. So
right. You
just stay open-minded. And at that time I'd seen Kathy come up with some pretty remarkable information about people and do some fairly amazing things. And no, I don't understand it, but it's just something that's true. It's a gift. It works. Don't try to analyze it out of existence. So
right. Just
the fact that I can't touch it, smell it, taste it, feel it, doesn't mean that it can't exist. I don't know, you know, and the same thing. We don't know if anything that we consider in science is the absolute top shelf of that particular discipline.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. And to think that we do know something, to say that something cannot be or cannot exist, is the epitome of egotistical.
Right.
In psychic journeyman, what do you tell your clients about free will? You know, when they say, oh, you said I was going to meet somebody at the library, and I didn't go to the library that day.
Well, I just look at people and say, well, see, I do readings. I tell people, I said, this is what I pick up, this is what I feel, and this is the information that's coming through. But once you walk out that door, whatever you want to do, always remember, you're going to change it or you're going to go along with it, it's going to happen. So
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't happen, look back at you, because you're the one's making the decisions, you're the one's running your life, not me. I'm just giving you information so you can basically maybe do a little bit better than you've been doing or stay on the right track. But don't.
Yeah, a lot of times when people call me for a reading, I will see exactly, and I tell them this, I see exactly where your life is going should you make no major changes.
Mm-hmm.
And that included, in fact, from Ohio one time, I was doing a reading for a woman, and she was asking about her boyfriend, and I almost never get these kind of readings, but
mm-hmm.
I saw her lying on the cement in a pool of blood around her head, and I said, honey, you have got to get out of this relationship. You've got to walk away from this man and not look back. You're really in danger. And probably in 30 years of readings, that's only come up, maybe a handful of times. And
right.
I didn't hear back from her, so I don't know whether she took that advice. And she has the free will to make any choice she wants. She can say, oh, Kathy, you're full of it. Or, yeah, you know, he's been really brutal in the past, and I can see that could happen, and
right. Leave.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty simple. If you're going to New York and you don't go by way of New Orleans, you're not going to see the Mardi Gras.
That's true.
You know, all that we know is that you're going to New York. How you choose to get there is your own business. If you go by New Orleans and hit the Mardi Gras, stay off of this corner at 2:00 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's the same thing. I've had a couple of people call me back and say, "I didn't meet that guy." I said,
right.
"Well, did you go down? Did you go to the coffee shop?" And they go, "No."
Yes. Yes, exactly.
But I've also done this too. I've got more open-minded myself about how things are going to happen, to the point where I got this one lady, she was basically a homebody, never went out anywhere, did not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she had this feeling that she was going to meet the right guy, and she was going to get married. And I was sitting there going, well, you know, my ego kicked in and said, well, that ain't going to happen. You're going to have to get out of the house, you're going to have to go out and do all kinds of, you're going to get out there and at least let people know that you exist, right?
Right.
This lady here mailed. She married her mailman.
Oh my goodness.
I was just going to say the door-to-door salesman, mailman. Yeah,
she met him on the front porch, and she had seen him once before, I think, and she just felt like really connected to the guy. And then she also, see, this is one thing I have to, you know, I had to realize at that time too, that people are, there are people out there listening to their guidance. And she said something kind of telling her that she did, needed to stay right where she was, or she was going to miss it. Mm-hmm. And so then, so from that point on, I've told people, this is what I feel, because I had a lady tell me she wanted to get back to her, with her husband. And I said, I'm telling you right now, from what I can see, from what you're doing, at this moment, I don't see it happening. I really don't. And then she looked at me and said, well, can I change it with positive thinking?
Ooh.
And I went back to that reading that I had before, and I said, yeah, you can.
Wow.
you stick to your input and what you're telling you, because we all have them. They're all there. So therefore, if you feel like it's what you're being told, I'm sure you should listen to that. And I said, changing it positively? That's great, because I've been talking about manifestation and positive thinking, and then this person comes out of nowhere and kind of like, just deal with this one and what I've been giving everybody else, because of course you can.
Kevin, does psychic journeyman sound like he's breaking up to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you knew that, psychic journeyman, but your voice cuts out frequently.
Yeah, are you on Skype?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
That's why, right?
Yep.
I keep seeing the jumpy thing, and it's like that's when you guys have me fading out. I don't know why it does.
And I don't know if it's a vocal overload or what. I'm not that familiar. I just know that the various internet communicators do have a tendency to get a little garbled upon occasion.
Yeah, because you guys have a couple times have gotten faded seconds, but nothing major.
Oh, we'll suffer through it. No problem.
Right.
But you were talking about positive thinking. How many times have you wished yourself a parking spot up by the door?
Oh, it's kind of freaky, because I was with my mom once, and she was just like complaining the whole time. Never going to find a parking place. I said, Mom, just keep going. We're going to find one up front. Sure enough, there was one up front. She's like, she didn't say nothing bad. She just pulls in, but I'm sitting there going, every time.
And what I found is you don't find one if you don't ask.
Yeah, really, because when I had my shop in Colorado, I thought it was amazing that I would sit there, and I just really had a focus on thinking that everything I ever needed or wanted or any kind of information would just come to me, because I felt like I was in the right place. And I would just sit there and think about things. And one time a lady gave me a horseshoe. It's one of those continuous horseshoes, and she said, you'll have continuous luck. Well, some came over to me and said, I wonder if that's something somebody made, or does it mean something? You know, do people use it? Do horse trainers use it or whatever?
Well, and it's also the power of the talisman. You know, if somebody can pick up a stone and give it to you and say, this is a magic stone. As long as you keep it in your right pocket, you will have good fortune. And if you believe that,
yeah, it's focus.
Guess what?
Yeah.
It will probably start to work for you.
Yeah, but see, in that situation, I saw that horseshoe, and it was a curiosity. Did it really mean something besides good luck? I mean, was it a real horseshoe of some kind? 2 days later, some lady walked in and looked at it and called it by name. She goes, oh, you got one of those things hanging on your wall. I'm sitting there going, what is it? And she goes, oh, they put those on lame horses to strengthen their legs. And I was like, yeah, I was freaking out going, somebody just came in of nowhere and just walked in there and told me exactly what it was.
Shot to me.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. If you've ever had it, I used to get these readings all the time with girls that I just knew had twins, but they didn't have a twin, but they were supposed to have twins. And she was just like, the doctor said we wasn't supposed to have twins or nothing like that. And I said, well, I said, I pick up you should have had twins, but I also pick up the reason I picked that up, because I keep picking up the soul of that, the spirit of that child, which is still with you. Yeah, so I sit there and I was just telling myself, I was like, I asked my angels, I'd like to have some information to back that up, some kind of physical proof that those were, that she was going to have twins. And I saw something on the Discovery Channel. I just happened to turn to that channel that night, and this thing came on and said doctors were getting curious about women who thought they were having twins and started looking through the afterbirth, and sure enough, they started finding fetuses that never developed.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, so I was like, my angels are constantly bringing me information, constantly doing those things, and it was just something I could keep giving to my clients as well. So Have you ever had this? There's a thing that bugs me the most. You strive to get the information. You're constantly getting nudges so you can pass it on to clients. And you have people in your shop and ask questions to have an answer to everything they say. And then they look at you and say, are you going to have an answer to everything I ask you? And I said, yes, I am. And they started complaining. I said, I looked at the lady and I said, this is really funny. And she goes, why? Because I'm very blunt with people. I just tell them exactly what I'm thinking. I said, it's kind of funny how you guys want all the answers, and then you meet somebody who just might have all the answers, and now you're complaining about that. Isn't there kind of like a middle place here, guys? And she started laughing. She's like, she goes, I guess you're right. I am complaining, aren't I? I said, well, you came here for, came for the answers, the information and stuff, and here it is. Now you're complaining. And she's like, well, maybe I should stop doing that. So that's why I'm always blunt and straightforward with everybody, because I just feel like it's somewhere along the line that's going to click in. Maybe not that moment, but later on they're going to go, maybe he had a point there. Maybe I'm just complaining too much or something about the whole thing. Where they think about it, even when they walk away, they still think,
And you know, psychic journeyman, when I run into people like that, I know that somewhere in my life, the same thing, I'm doing the same thing, because everything is a mirror. Uh-huh. And if somebody comes to me and says, I want a reading, I give them the reading, they say, no, that's not right, I don't want that. I have to turn around and look at myself and say, okay, where is it that I'm complaining, I'm getting an answer, and I'm saying, no, that's not it. Because sure enough, it'll be somewhere.
I like the people that call and ask you something, you give them an answer, and then they argue with you. And I said, why did you ask me the question if you obviously already know the answer?
Sometimes
confirmation.
Yeah, I think they call for confirmation a lot of times, and it's something I've learned in 30 years of doing this work is there's a lot of fear in people, and it comes out in a variety of ways. And to delve into our sixth sense, which is not highly developed in most of the population, I think it scares people.
Yeah, I do too, because it's the hardest thing about seeing your center, talking about meeting someone online and how that kicked in and silence and everyone. Oh, so it does work. I've never had it work for me. I've just met too many scam artists and that kind of thing. But see, that's the one thing, like you said before, you start looking at the attractions that the things you're attracting, you still have to go back to yourself and ask yourself what's in you or what you're doing to attract those situations and start wondering, are you being honest with yourself and maybe honest with other people? Because here you're attracting some doofus who wants to take you for everything you got. I hate to say that.
I really had to look at that recently because I did a free.
What are you calling a doofus?
This one lady who just drove me nuts. She called.
No. I was talking to Kathy.
Oh, okay.
I was taking it personal.
Oh, okay. No! I was gonna talk about Sheila.
Okay. Never mind.
I did some freelance work with somebody and had the work provided to her 2 weeks before it was due, and she refused to pay me. So I took her to court. I won. She still won't pay. And my question has to be: all right, Kathy, where are you not paying what you contract for? So that's been a little uncomfortable to look at that.
Yeah, I had the same thing when I was sitting there when I was doing readings when I was in Colorado. I was charging $25 for like 15 minutes and thinking I was really asking for too much. And then I started getting information saying I wasn't asking for enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then some lady walked in one day and she's like, how much are your readings? I said, $25 for 15 minutes. And she goes, I think that's just too much. And I went into this speech for 20 minutes while I felt like I deserved it. Mm-hmm. What I've been doing and what she's going to get and everything like that. And I said, I don't think if I would have been working with the public as long as I had, I wouldn't be able to have done that.
Well, you're a Taurus, and so your value in life comes from the money that you make. That's part of your life's work. So, of course, you would defend that. Of course you would.
Well, since I came back to Ohio, maybe my attitude toward Ohio, I don't like being here, so I think it might be affecting what I'm not attracting right now. Because I'm not really doing much of anything except for doing the show and then running all over the place trying to, I like to talk to people. I am a person who likes to, when I come in contact with people, I just like sharing what I know. So I talk to everybody about this and that and the other. And my biggest thing is seeing somebody who sit here and talks to me and says, my life sucks. I said, well, why don't you stop letting your life suck and change it? And then they look at me and go, what? And I said, yeah, you have full control. I said, who does? Who else would have control of your life? And she goes, well, it's my husband's fault. No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's your fault.
That's the old, it hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do that.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, just take it, just do this. And I have a lot of problems, and I'm going to say, when I have done readings and certain sessions with women, the ones I have dealt with have a tendency to get very mad at me, because when I do a certain technique where I sit there and say, okay, you made this decision, you made this decision, you made this decision, this is what happened. So therefore, by making this decision, it's your fault. And then they go, you're like my ex-husband or my husband. It's always my fault. And I said, I'm not sitting there taking the blame away from what he's done, but you can't do it either. And you have to take back what you did.
You and I are exactly the same way in presenting things. And what I've learned from Kevin is, instead of saying, you did this, you made this choice, it's your fault, he has taught me that it's better maybe to say, it means the same thing, but better
right.
to say, now you must hold yourself accountable for your choices.
Sure. I've always said there's a huge difference between fault, blame, and accepting the consequences and responsibility.
Right.
They may all total up to the same thing, but two of them are much easier to view and accept.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be to blame for something.
Especially if
you could be blamed for something good, but they never say, well, you're to blame for this wonderful thing. They say you're responsible for this wonderful thing. Well, then why can't you be responsible for the bad things too, and just accept the responsibility?
Right.
Figure out what you did, learn from it, and move on.
And hold yourself accountable for your choice.
No, that's a good thing, because I said I've actually done that a couple of times where I look at the people and say, okay. I basically said it's your fault, but let me explain in detail exactly what I'm saying. I said, you're sitting there like you said, I remember when you said there, I said that thing too, where you talk about the good stuff. I said, all the good things happen in your life, that you did all those things, didn't you? And they go, yeah, that's me. Well, you also made the same decisions that caused these bad things to happen too, so you can't take responsibility for one without taking the responsibility for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just looked at me like, okay.
Well, and even, you know, it was my husband's fault. Oh, okay. Well, then you made an incorrect decision a long time ago.
Right. They're all. I mean, that's what the one thing that's hard to get through to people is helping them understand that. Here, I'm saying, basically, what I'm trying to explain to them is I'm trying to say, I'm not going to sit there and blame you for it. I'm just looking for a place to start, because you're wanting to change your life, and you have to start with that, because you're not taking accountability for those things. So it's kind of manifesting into this chaotic thing that's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, once you start taking the responsibility for all those things, you're going to start seeing your life change for the better.
Yeah, and if you don't accept responsibility and accountability for your life as it exists right now, what makes you think that you can change the course of it?
Yeah, exactly, because you're sitting there saying that your problems.
You'll never believe you can.
Well, they're sitting there saying their problems are more powerful than they are, or more powerful than God, so there's no way we can do anything about them until they realize.
And they're done that.
Yeah,
it's
so you sit there and go, I said, you're part of the source.
That's
God
right.
made you in his image, so therefore, basically, you can.
You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Make up your mind.
Yeah, that's not a, remember that old saying, if you think you're right, you're right, and if you think you're wrong, you're right. You know, kind of thing. You know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But, you know, I was sitting there telling people it's hard to sit there and sometimes and just stop and take a look at yourself. If someone's sitting there saying you're too sensitive, you're too this, or just a lot of things, why don't you just stop for a second, take a look at it. If it's right, then you can do, and I said the good news is you can do something about it. If it's not, then you sit there and you know next time that someone sits there and accuses you of something that you're not, you can be confident once you've already looked at it, and you know you do.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't. You know, it's like you have to take a look at it. Because, I mean, the biggest thing I've seen a lot with my ex-fiancée was a good one, too, is when you say something, they go right into defense mode. And you're like, okay. I looked her right in the face. I said, why'd you go in defense mode? I was just asking a question.
But you know what, though, psychic journeyman? I've done the same thing with Kevin. And he says, it's the attitude with which you ask the question. It's the energy you bring along with the question that tells me that you've got a control issue behind it, or you've got an
right.
agenda behind it. And so the way we approach people can automatically trigger defense or not, and I'm guilty of that.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, and also in this day and age, I mean, the yeah. TV is full of commercial after commercial after commercial, have you been harmed in an accident? Did you take this medication and now you're suffering? People are constantly being barraged in this politically correct atmosphere that they are responsible for absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the farther that goes on, the less control people are going to have with their lives.
Yeah, that's why we need less control by the government, because the government keeps telling everybody, here's something for you.
That's a different show.
Yes.
And when you have that one, have me on. I'll fill in the spaces.
Hey, Psychic Journeyman, I don't work with angels, but I wonder how that works for you. How are you able to do psychic readings with angels? What exactly goes on? Kevin, do you use angels?
No.
No, I don't either.
Well, I think they all talk to us. They all communicate with us in some way and form. Maybe you don't use them per se for what you do. But they are. I'm just saying, from all the studies I've ever done. I mean, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and it just seems like everybody has angels. They just don't know it because I guess they don't put the two together. They just keep saying, a voice told me not to go there, so I avoided an accident, not realizing it was an angel, a guardian angel, keeping you from harm.
Oh yeah, and since I ride a motorcycle, I never drive faster than my angel can fly, except one time in Texas a month ago when I ran off the road.
It's a difference. Yeah, people, my education about angels and how a lot of things really do work is like, I was told once, and I've actually read this in Doreen Virtue's book too, where she talks about angels have basically told her the reason that people see them that way is because that's how humans identify angels with wings. But they said basically angels are just, when I see angels, I see pockets of energy. And I instinctively know what it is. It's a difference between spirits. I've seen spirits. I've seen some really wild spirits. That kind of surprised me too when they just popped out of nowhere. And I was kind of funny. I kind of like surprised myself how I deal with some things sometimes because I don't know how I'm going to do it. But then it happens, and I just feel like because of the angels I have, I can feel somebody always with me. I've been in situations where I have a guy yelling at me who's mad at me, and I just feel a presence to my right. And I've actually picked up Jesus too. I say that. Some people freak out there, but I loved it because I just felt like at that moment that guy is yelling at me, no harm was going to come to me. So I just sit there and listen to him to the point where I've actually gotten more blunter and more straightforward, where I just tell you exactly what you need to know. Because a lot of people that I've dealt with and worked with, if you're not that blunt, it's like we're talking about the law of attraction. We're always attracting who we are. So therefore, people come to me and I'm not that blunt with them. Then they kind of look at you and they don't take you seriously because deep down they're a blunt person. They just, there are certain people they're not blunt with. And I just have gotten to the point where I feel so secure and safe when I do those things, I have no problem saying things. And
Do you have names, Psychic Journeyman?
It depends on the situation. I work with a lot of archangels. There's like, I think 12.
Have they ever been alive before?
What's that?
Have angels ever been alive before?
Well, supposedly there's two archangels. Archangel Metron was actually supposed to be a human being who was a very spiritual person, and God basically, he became an archangel because of his strong spirituality and his strong belief and his strong faith. And then there's another one called Sandalphon. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Sandalphon. This is the archangel who actually delivers prayers, from what I've read and what I've experienced. And Metron is an angel that works with a lot of, I call them high-spirited children, or autism, and things like that. But the ones I work with the most is Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael. And the reason I've always put those two together is because Archangel Michael helps me to cut loose anything. It's like imagining taking the sword and just cutting any kind of etheric cord attached to you or attached to your house or attached to anything. And then Archangel Raphael, I feel the reason I put those two together is because one helps me cut loose of things, and the other one helps me to heal those situations. So therefore, I can move on. So it's always kind of...
Sorry. I've noticed in traditional religions, especially Catholicism, that angels are a part of that religion, and I was not raised Catholic, so I'm really not familiar with angels at all.
Tell them too. The biggest thing I get is when I talk about angel readings and angels in general, everybody says, well, you know you're not supposed to pray to angels. It was.
I didn't hear you. Your voice cut out. Sorry.
Oh, no. We're talking about angels, and people talk about angels, and when you mention angels, the first thing they talk about is you shouldn't be praying to angels. You should not pray to angels.
Why?
But in the process, but I tell people all the time, the process of communicating and having a relationship with angels, you're not praying to them. Like, I don't pray to my father or my mother or my sister, but they are a part of my life, and I do have relationships with them. And, you know, depending on how strong those relationships is, it depends. It seems like it makes a positive or a negative difference in my life. When I – he was sitting there talking – your soon-to-be husband, Kevin, was talking about if you can't feel it, touch it, or taste it. I said, well, what happens if you can taste it, touch it, feel it, and see it, but there's nothing there? Then what do you do? I have been in situations where I was in a car with a friend of mine, and I was starting to smell watermelon, and nobody else did. I was sitting there going, I said, maybe so, guys. Someone's got either some bubble gum or something. Someone's got some watermelon, and they both told me no, and there was only three of us in the car. And I said, for some reason, something came over me, and I said, I looked at her, and I looked at my friend and her husband. His favorite fruit was watermelon. And he passed. And he passed on a long time ago. And I just felt like he was always with her. I felt like I felt like he was in that car, and he was with us. And she just looked at me, and she's like, "He's probably here with us." And then later on, she's had situations with him where he's having a tough time moving on, or letting her move on, because he had some tools of his locked in her garage, and he changed the lock combination spiritually. Now she can't figure out how to get into the damn thing. She's really mad about the whole thing, but she said, I feel like he doesn't want me to let go of those tools. I said, well, yeah, the code has been changed. You don't know what the code is. I said, you could cut the thing off, but he won't do that out of respect for him. So that he knows that, so he's going to leave him there. So, you know, things like that. But angels to me are angels are just like, I just feel things are all around me, and there's constant protection. My protection I usually focus on the most is surrounding myself with pink light instead of white light, because I don't want to sit there and basically protect myself from everybody. So I use the pink light so I can actually attract more people who are loving, caring people, and it kind of blocks out the negative ones that want to take advantage or are just caught up in whatever they're going through, where they have a tendency to hurt other people.
Kevin, when you were in Catholic school, did they teach you about angels?
Oh, the first grade nuns were you know, angels were good. They would help you on occasion, but they basically stayed completely out of our life. I did not last in Catholic school. I could even at the tender age of 6 or 7, I realized that what they were telling me just didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I had a problem with
that. Yeah, they put angels on a much higher elevated plane, more or less like servants to God instead of envoys to mankind.
Right.
And it, like I said, it just didn't make any sense. Very little of the stuff they taught made any sense. I didn't get along with the Catholic Church too well.
Me neither. I was actually going to marry a woman who was a Catholic, and when I seen what I had to go through to marry that woman, I was like, you know, I had a daughter who was born before I was actually married to my first wife, and she's now next wife, but before I was going to get married again after that, and basically I had to go through a thing where they basically told me I had to basically denounce that I had a daughter in order to become Catholic. And I was like, oh, if that's the case, then that would never happen. So I
well, I know a lot of people who are practicing Catholics and it works for them. I say, great, if that works for you, and you can find your spirituality through organized religion, great. But don't discount people who maybe find it in nature or find their spirituality in meditation or prayer, that it's not in a standard church, because you can find God anywhere, I think.
Yeah, I don't feel very spiritual when I go in a building that has graphic displays of the Station of the Cross up and down the walls and statues of people bleeding. It just it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, see, I mean, my biggest thing was situations of listening to Christians, and sometimes along that line, of listening to them talk about Jesus died on the cross. I said, you know, that's not what I get out of it. And then they go, what do you get out of it? Internal life. And Jesus came back. Jesus rose from the dead, you know. And you're all center focusing on the cross and all this other stuff. And then I've actually been to churches where all of a sudden I get people to say, well, we talk about this enough. Let's talk about the devil. And I go, why? And they go, well, we want you to know all about him. I said, if you don't know about it, then I think you have a problem. But I understand what you're saying, you know. This is what you don't do, and this is the person you don't believe in. But to keep preaching it, you know, it's like, I think you guys are just, I don't know what, it's almost like, I get the impression sometimes with some churches that they want you to follow them. They're scared of that. All these churches and stuff is constantly keeping things going. So sometimes
well, as Kathy stated before, if you gravitate toward organized religion, and in doing so, it enables you to be a decent, caring, loving, spiritual human being. God bless you. But my concept of organized religion is a little bit more of they wish to control you. There's not a lot of room for independent thought in organized religion.
And that's the thing one thing I told my mom and I told a lot of people is that when I started doing psychic work and really doing the spiritual work, every day happened. To prove to me that God exists. I never learned that in the church. And I said, I've also looked in the Bible, and it doesn't say anything about you have to go to church. It talks about communion. It talks about getting together and basically talking and celebrating. But it doesn't say you have to go to church. So I was wondering, I had so many people saying, yes, it does. Where? It's like with psychics. I said, where does it say anything bad about psychics in there? And I've never seen the word psychic. Now, I've seen wizards and witchcraft, and I keep saying, to me personally, those are all different than what I do. When I sit and talk about manifesting things, I'm not talking about witchcraft, as in the sense it talks about in the Bible, which is, and even that, I feel like in some ways, of course, this is my personal opinion, but I feel like that the Bible has been tampered with by humans. To sit there and say it has, and it's kind of like walking around with blinders on too, I think.
Well, yes, it has.
It was during the year 900 in Constantinople.
Yeah, so, you know, I sit there and say, you know, something that's I personally feel like it's a great learning tool, and that's the whole thing, but spirituality goes a whole lot deeper than the Bible. It goes a whole lot deeper than anything until you get back to the individual. Because, like you were talking about, people talking about how they get there, and if you can find spirituality through what you're going to do through, it's fine. And that's the whole thing you got to put up with. That's what I tell everybody else. I said, you tell me, if you walk up and tell me this is how you feel, and this is how you feel spirituality is, I can't argue with your opinion. That's how you feel. All
and
I ask you to do.
That.
Yeah, I just tell them. I said, all I ask you to do is respect me too. And
right,
this
right.
is my opinion. And then we'll just all.
Journeyman, when you're doing a reading for somebody, like if somebody in the chat room wants you to do a reading for them,
right?
Do you actually see their guardian angel or excuse me or guide?
How does it work with me? Is like when you're talking about certain things, and if you're curious about those things. Excuse me. It seems like someone asked me one time, do I have any past lives? As soon as they ask that question, a lot of information comes in about that topic. I think it's why sometimes I like to have people ask me questions, because my mind's wide open. They give me a focus, and also my angels start flooding me with all this information. With past lives, what will happen, usually I will get a vision in my mind when they talk about past lives, where the angels will show me like a hallway with doorways, and they'll start pointing out certain dates on those doors, and then we'll go through and explore those.
That is so cool.
And then if you ask me for like if you want to get married and you're asking about dates and that kind of thing in general, what will happen is the calendar will start flipping through my head. And then it'll stop at a certain month, and then it'll keep dictating until we get to a date. This doesn't happen.
Awesome.
I tell people all the time, this doesn't happen all the time, because it's like I've actually told people this before too. I don't know if you've ever done this before in readings, where they'll ask you for information about something, you can't give it to them, because it's like my angels come to me and say, you can't tell this person they're going to meet a guy with this, because they'll dwell on it.
Mm-hmm. I have been completely blocked when giving a reading, and I've got a secret tool I use. You want me to share it with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever I'm doing a reading for somebody, I will ask them for their first name, what state they're calling from, and their birth date. What that does is it narrows them into their own energy field.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, without thinking of any of the possible answers, ask me your question now. What we've done is we've charged the energy with neutrality, if that's possible, so I can get accuracy.
Okay. Hey, speaking of readings, I'm going to sit here and have a couple of callers come on. Do you have any trouble answering a couple of questions if they ask?
Evan?
Bring it on.
All right.
And nope. Angel in the chat room wants to ask you something, too. I don't know if she's calling or not. But I'm ready when you're ready.
Area code 719. You're on the air. How are you?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Wow.
Hear me?
This is Pam.
This is who?
This is Pam.
Pam, how you doing, Pam?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Say hi to Kevin and Kathy.
You what?
We have Kevin.
Hi, Pam. You got three for the price of one.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool.
What state are you in, Pam? What state are you in?
Colorado.
Colorado.
And what's your birthday?
October 4th, 62.
October 4th. Libra. So, Pam, I guess you have some questions for us?
So what's on your mind?
I'm having, of course, complications in my love life. I'm having complications in my career and trying to find purpose and direction. And I did call out for my angels, and I found some feathers out in my front yard, and I saw an angel cloud, and everything's been really cool, but I still feel like I still feel conflicted.
So your question is what?
I don't know. What is my question? where is my love life going right now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It is.
You know, the situation from what I keep picking up is, I really don't pick up anything about your love life, and per se, I keep picking up that you're still focusing on balance in your life, and there's a lot of things going on there, because I feel like that once you really obtain balance in your life, there's something, I keep getting a wall, that's what I get, and then behind that wall is your significant other, the person you want to be with. It seems like when I get this balance in my life, I keep getting this wall, like there's something that's blocking. I mean, to give you an example, I went back to a point in my life too. It was some kind of blockage. It wasn't present day. It came to my psychic ability. Anyway, it was many years ago when I was 10 years old. I was in a drowning accident where I actually drowned and I was under the water for 20 minutes. In the process of going through that whole thing, my mother almost drowned instead of my sister, because my mom was 9 months pregnant, but she wanted to save her son, so she didn't care, and she came in to get me. In the process of doing that, we all got pulled into an undertow, into about 12 feet of water, and we almost perished. And so in the process of doing that, at a 10-year-old mentality, I was very guilty about that. I felt guilty about the whole thing, because at the time I was drowning, I was getting attention. I was the oldest, and my sister is the youngest. So I wasn't getting a lot of attention, so at that point I was. And that guilt carried with me for a long time, until about 4 or 5 years ago, I was living in Colorado and had my own shop. I couldn't figure out what was blocking me, too, with love life. You know, what was going on, and maybe even a little bit more business. Then as soon as I went back in a past life regression to find that, to really look at that from a 40-year-old mentality, looking at a 10-year-old and realizing it was just a 10-year-old thinking, and next thing you know, I let it go. And as soon as I let it go, my business kicked in and I met somebody. So there's a definite connection between the two. And I feel like the blockage that you have is not a present-day blockage. It's almost like something I keep picking up from when you were 8 years old. Of just a simple comment that was said to you that, you know, you will never be happy and you will never be loved. And it's like, I feel like what I keep picking up with you is somehow, some way, go back to that whole thing and just look at it from a different point of view. As you are now, looking at the mentality of an 8-year-old and saying, you know, of course you're going to hang on to it. And you're I just feel like some way, and subconsciously, you're still hanging on to it. So I just feel like you need to, if you can, what I did with a couple of mine, I actually went and got this lady I like a lot. Her name is Doreen Virtue. She had a past life regression CD, which I didn't really have a lot of confidence in when I bought it, but I did. I was able to do a lot of good work with it. It was just, I was so determined. That's what it was. What do you think, Pam?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, you still there? We're still here.
I'm still here.
Okay, Kathy?
You guys...
Yeah, what I see, Pam, coming up for you in regards to your love life is that it is really time for you to find a sense of community, and that would be a group of people having common interests. What's your favorite hobby or interest?
Well, I've been busy with work and school and everything, but I've been really picking up on the spiritualities and oracle cards, and it's really been getting into it lately. That's been kind of where I'm at.
I would say find a chat room then, or find people in your community. Colorado tends to be pretty metaphysical anyway.
Yes.
Right, psychic journeyman?
Yeah, I used to live in Manitou Springs. Have you ever heard of Manitou Springs?
Yeah, I live in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I used to live in Manitou Springs. I used to have a shop up there, and right on the main stretch. So I'm actually planning, as soon as business picks up for me, I want to go back to Colorado and go back to that same place.
For you, Pam, if you want a loving, healthy, balanced, as Psychic Journeyman had mentioned, relationship, this is the time to become involved in a community. And you know, it's Christmas time. Maybe it's with the Salvation Army, or maybe it's bringing presents to children who won't get any. But you need a strong sense of community with like-minded people for your love life to take off. Kevin?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get a sense about Pam that you're a pretty smart kid.
Yes, she is.
But you're cluttering your life. Everything I see is all about you, which can be good. But I have a feeling that you're trying to think things out a little too much. You're trying to make things happen, and they're not going to happen until you calm down a little bit. You're very independent, and right now that's working against you.
Oh.
Sound like a familiar person, Pam?
Yeah, but how can independence be working against me?
You're not letting anybody in.
Yeah, so
it's really pretty simple.
She doesn't need anybody. She's so independent. Does she really need someone? That's
you're getting in your own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know this for a fact.
What?
So you gotta just calm down.
Yeah.
You gotta smell the roses. You gotta relax. Anybody that's ever listened to our show, I am a big fan of meditation, and I don't think you meditate, Pam. Do you?
No, I
you don't.
I don't have time.
Well, yes, you do. You know, everybody thinks that meditation is something where you dim all the lights, light some candles, devote half an hour, 45 minutes to sitting in a dark room on brightly colored throw rugs, and that's not true. You can do it almost anywhere and anytime. It's just letting go of all of the spiritual clutter, the mental clutter that's running around in your mind.
And prayer, Pam, is talking to God. Meditation is listening to God. It's just a listening process.
Because we've always said that the things that you learn in meditation are quiet voices. The truth is generally whispered. At least I have found that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can unclutter your mind, you know, you can do it anytime, anywhere. You need to shuffle all that stuff, that noise that's in your mind, to the side.
And do take a look at what Psychic Journeyman said about what kind of mindset you built at the age of 8.
Yeah, I was teased a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, when he was talking about, you know, it's great to be independent, but it's also the idea of there's nothing wrong with saying that you need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you want somebody, that you want to be with somebody.
No man is an island.
Because I was sitting there, the biggest thing I say too is I look at people and say, hey, it's like this, you're here, you're him, and you're you. So therefore, I want you guys to just be yourselves, because all you're doing is merging together.
Yeah, what happened in 1969, Pam?
We moved from Texas to Wisconsin.
Ooh.
You did.
My dad got out of the Army, and we moved up to Wisconsin, and where my mom was raised.
And you left friends, didn't you?
I don't know. I was, like, in kindergarten. I was always been kind of a loner.
Yeah? Well, that makes sense, because the friendships you were just starting to develop got removed from you, and that may have given you a mindset.
Made her feel like she couldn't be loved.
That might be where your loner came from, because I get 1969.
Okay.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd have been about 8 about that time.
I'm just saying, when you get in a relationship, a lot of people got this misconception that when you get in a relationship, you got to give up yourself. No, you give of yourself.
I was just in a 3-year relationship, and we were going back and forth, and I'm just finally just ending it, you know, and... he always told me, you got to give 100% to get it. And I thought I did by doing things and things like that. But maybe that
Kevin, tell her about the red buttons and the green buttons.
Oh, remind me about the red buttons and green buttons.
Texas Marriage Boot Camp.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously he's asking 100% from her. She's giving it in the way that she wants to receive it, but it's not what he's looking for.
Yeah, people perceive love in much, much different things. And for you, we went to a marriage boot camp a little over a year ago, and they decided what everybody's personality was, and they gave it different color buttons. There were blue, red, green, yellow. And some people perceived love and affection by getting gifts. Some people perceived love and affection by receiving soft, gentle caresses and nice words. And the thing is, if you're a person that perceives love as kind words and gentle caresses, then you can be showered with all of the money and gifts in the entire world, and you will not perceive that as love.
Yes, you'll say to your partner, you're not giving 100% because you're not getting what you need. You're getting what the partner wants to give you.
Yeah, right. And before you can give 100%, you know, if he gives 100% and you give 100%, it's 200%, and that doesn't work. So you have to figure out how each one of you perceives affection.
For me, let me give you an example, Pam, because Kevin and I are engaged. We've been together for 7 years, and I'm a green color, a green circle. And what that means is bring gifts, do things for me, and I feel like Kevin loves me. And if I say, oh, could you take out the trash while I'm vacuuming, and he goes, I say, oh, he doesn't love me. And, I mean, it sounds really childlike and childish.
It is.
And for Kevin, what was yours, Kevin? Affection, was it?
Yeah, I need to
appreciation.
Talk.
Yeah, he needed appreciation. So when he does a job and I don't he designed a beautiful piece of artwork, and I say, oh, that's really beautiful, good job, and I don't go on and on about it, he says, oh, she doesn't love me. I guarantee you, Pam, if you were to find out what your significant other, how he feels loved, what you could do to make him feel loved and did that, you wouldn't have the problems with him that you do.
Be sure to tell him what you perceive it as also, because the more he feels as though you are being loving toward him in a language he can recognize, the more eager he is to make you feel that good.
What if he doesn't love himself?
You can't fix that. He needs professional help. He needs to call Psychic Journeyman and get an honest reading.
When I was picking up the whole thing, I was kind of like picking up some other things, so I have a tendency to grab my cards and just start putting things down and see what's going on. And I keep getting this, the Queen of Cups is really having a tough time, almost refusing to make a decision about certain things that are going on here. Where, like, for example, I know for a fact if I don't go out here and talk to people, nothing's going to happen. And I keep getting that in my mind. I should go to certain places and I don't do it. That's me putting off a decision I know I need to do because it's going to have a positive outcome, but it's never going to happen until I do it. And I keep getting this Queen of Cups and the Two of Swords, but the Two of Swords is upside down. So I got all these internal things where it's like, okay, you're putting off things. And I do pick up on this guy where he talks a lot about giving 100%, but he does a lot of talking. Where I feel like he does more talking than he actually sets an example.
Get him on the phone right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but
call him up. We'll wait.
We're trying to be distant right now. Yeah, we're trying to have a distance, and he tells me that he still loves someone from 6 years ago, and he can't move on, and he's not capable of having a relationship now. So,
I don't think he's right.
Let me tell you something, Pam. Everybody in your life, you got to admit it, that if you love those people, you still love them. Mm-hmm. It's just in that situation, it didn't really work. So therefore, he moved on. But he's also using that as I feel like it's a crutch, too, to sit there and instead of giving 100% to you.
Oh, yeah, it's a spacer.
Yeah, he's sitting there saying, I can't do that, which if he was here, I would tell him, you're full of it. You can give 100%. You gave 100% to her. You can give 100% to her, to Pam as well.
What
and
sign
I would
is
really
he, Pam?
Definitely suggest that you give
what sign is he's March 6th.
Oh, my God, a Pisces.
There you go. No, but I'm saying, seriously, my biggest thing is I wish you would call me for a personal reading. Because, I mean, I'm just picking up so much stuff with this that I would sit here, I'd love to sit here and talk to you about it, but I got four other people on the line that would just love to talk to us, too. And,
that's cool.
But
Mr. Pisces is all over the map.
Have him call us on Thursday.
Yeah, he's an alcoholic, and he's been active in his disease right now, so he's really hard to, yeah.
I will say one thing before we go on to our next caller is, in that situation, you have to think about yourself. If it's something that's because it seems to me like emotionally, in some ways, it's really hurtful to you what he's doing and kind of stuff. And there's nothing that says because you love him that you have to stay in that situation. And
yeah, if he's being selfish while you're being generous, that's called enabling.
Yes, it is. And you're not helping the situation. You're part of the problem.
No, you're part of the problem, Pam. Sorry.
It doesn't seem fair, and it doesn't seem right, and life's like that sometimes. And you cannot fix his disease of alcoholism.
No, and as much as you believe that if you love him strongly enough, he'll change for you, I'm sorry, he won't.
He won't.
Yeah, Pam, take it from a person who just got out of a relationship actually 2 years ago now, that a lady was really heavy into drugs. I mean, she was, and it was legal. That's what the whole thing was, painkillers. Which is the worst. And every time, it was just a situation where the more I tried to help her, the more the situation got worse. And my ego kicked in and said, well, I've helped everybody. I've helped thousands of people. How come I can't help this one person? That's because I'm mostly involved, and I have to move on and let somebody else professionally do it. Because I couldn't do it.
I refer to that as putting on your Crusader rabbit outfit and bouncing off to save the day. It does not work.
They need professional help.
I know. Yeah, that's why I've called it off. I need him to stay away. But he's all over the map.
And that could be part of the confusion that I was seeing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
You're paying so much attention to everybody else. You're not giving enough time to Pam.
Yeah.
Okay, I promise I'll meditate.
Okay,
please do.
Let's,
and then call back and let us know how it's turning out, because I feel that there will be an enlightenment, an improvement, a lifting of weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so too.
And if you want to get a if you want to get a personal reading, go over this whole thing, because I saw a whole lot more with it, really in depth. Just give me a call. My number is 937-838-6337. Or if you like, you can call Kathy's show. And what's the number for your show, Kathy?
Oh, my gosh, I don't know. But it's Love Psychic Radio, Thursdays at 1 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, just give me that call, and we'll work out something. But I feel like that I could really give you some insight on the whole thing. So give us a call, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks for your time, everybody.
Oh, no problem.
Our pleasure.
And if you don't, just call us back and tell us how things are going.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
I love it when you do a reading for somebody and you see all this stuff and you don't quite understand what it's all about, but the more you talk to them, the more you go, oh, yeah, well, that's why this was turning up, and that's why I was seeing this.
Well, let's take another call real quick here. Like, keep the thing going. All right. Oh, I missed it again. I just love this switchboard. There we go. Area code 901, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How about you all? My name is Lanice.
Lanice? Where are you calling from?
Memphis.
Memphis? And when's your birthday?
July 5th, 1963.
My daughter's birthday. Different year, but same birthday.
Wow.
Oh, there's only 365 of them. Come on. Somebody's bound to have the same one.
Doesn't happen often.
So do you have a question for us? We're talking about spirituality and sexuality on the show. But the reason I was doing that, because in Tantra Sutra, they're talking about in the midst of being intimate with somebody, you have a very strong energy exchange, connection. And depending on if it's the right person or not, how powerful that is.
So, okay, are you saying this about me, or are you making a general statement?
No, I'm just saying it as a general statement. Go ahead and ask your question.
Well, are you doing readings, or?
Well, if you have a comment about that. I mean, I've actually heard some people talking about where they think that's crazy. Because there's actually people who think that by having sex with the right person, it actually brings you closer to the divine, or closer to God. I was just wondering if you might have a comment about that, or if you have a couple questions, go ahead and ask those too.
I was looking for something more on a reading level, but I don't have any questions about that.
Okay, let's go for the reading, but you got to have a question.
Okay, well, that would be relationship. I'm getting to know someone now. We're in the getting to know you stage. And he is a Pisces, and I have Pisces in the seventh house. Does that relate anyway to my chart? Or being a significant relationship or something.
So she had a question.
She did. Take it, Kathy.
Can I go first?
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, Lanice, anytime the same astrological sign, which is in your seventh house, comes up as a potential relationship, it's a double-edged sword. Yes, it's really good because it can be a very long-lasting relationship. However, the seventh house also has to do with the obstacles that get in our way. And I'm going to say that with the two of you being water signs, a Cancer and a Pisces, it can be a very emotional relationship. It can develop into one where you're not afraid to talk about each other's feelings. But what the double-edged sword is this. The obstacle that may come up for you is Cancers are very organized. They really want the home to run well. They really want the relationship to have meaning and emotion. Pisces, as we learned from Pam in the previous reading, tends to be, if they're not on track spiritually, they tend to be all over the map. And so, yes, this man can definitely be a soulmate for you. This can be somebody that leads to a long-term relationship, but it's not going to be easy.
Okay.
I've never run into anything easy.
Well,
Well,
okay, I'd like to say that everyone else has, but no, you're probably more right than wrong. I see that the both of you have a lot in common. You have some good times. You get along very well. He may be a little more concerned about money than other things. Is that one true?
I don't know him that well yet.
You don't? Well, in that case, keep an eye out for his financial side. He may tend to be a little bit more concerned about he may be let's use the word thrifty than is often called for.
Living under a bridge may be his biggest worry, huh?
Yeah, could be. But I see the two of you having a lot in common and getting along fairly well. Like Kathy said, it's not going to be easy. I see a lot of thoughtful moments on your part and money issues on his.
Yeah. I would agree with that one, too. The money problem thing seems to be a lot of, to me, I keep getting that's a blockage on some of the things she doesn't know about him. Because I feel like in some ways.
Yeah.
She should know more about him just by feeling, and there seems to be something like he's blocking those out.
Well, this is a heads up. That's all.
You said he's blocking out feelings?
He's blocking out things that he doesn't want her to know.
Not yet.
It's more financial than anything else, but those financial situations seem to have a lot to do with the way he feels, too. He feels a little more open to with people when things are going good, and right now he doesn't feel that way. But you look at the situation. I wouldn't sit here and give this up. I'm just saying, keep moving on.
Oh no! There's more good than bad, definitely.
But there's a whole lot more good coming. The only thing I would sit there and look at the situation of him dealing with his financial stuff.
Yeah, as I said, this is just a heads up. Be prepared for finding out that he's at times very concerned about finances.
Procrastination, that's what I get.
Yeah.
So, do you have another question for us?
What about my finances? I'm feeling kind of like you say he's feeling. I don't think things are going really well right now with me financially, and it's making me kind of just almost get in a shell.
The one thing I pick up the most real quickly is quit letting the world dictate your success.
Quit letting the world dictate my success.
It's okay. Like let go of everything. Don't think about what he's going through. Think about what you can do. And accomplish. I just feel like I feel like one thing I do pick up a lot here is the idea of you really focusing on and changing things to the point where how would I put this? It's just looking at things and what you can do and start focusing on those. Quit letting the world pressure you into making decisions. Make decisions on what you feel like you should do instead of everybody telling, well, you got to do this. And I feel like in the process of doing that, you might actually help him better with his situation, too, to do the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes
sense. Because a lot of us get caught up in this whole thing saying, well, we got to pay bills, we got to work, we got to do all this crazy stuff. And then that's just a crazy world dictating it and saying, well, that's how it works. And I said, well, if it works, then how come it doesn't? So therefore, because I've seen so many people before who sit there and stick to their guns and know for a fact that things are going to get better, start relying and start going inwards and finding out what their real talents are, what they really want to do. Because I just feel like a lot of people put themselves in situations they really want to do and where they really want to be at, their lives seem to be really positive, and they change quite a bit quickly. And it's like they're right back where they was. Like I always go back when you were 18 and 19 years old and you had this thing in your mind exactly how you wanted your life to go. And some of us have a tendency, start compromising, and it's just like a snowball effect. You just keep compromising, and then you get to a situation where you're like, I don't know which way to go. And I just feel like that's one of those things where you just got to stop and go, what do I really want to do? Because I'm not happy with this. And just be honest with yourself and do that.
Okay.
I feel like you're a very talented woman, but it's like you've given in to the materialistic stuff.
Yeah, and I get that you should celebrate the things that you do have. Celebrate the positive factors in your life.
Okay.
Yeah, and just do it. But the more grateful you are, and the more you focus on being grateful for what you have, the less you focus on the negative.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, and I've been doing pretty good with that lately, and it really just kicked in where I've got a lot going on financially, but
mm-hmm.
I'm being thankful for what is going well and just knowing that this too shall pass.
Well, yeah. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but a certain amount of meditation will help you realize the positive things that are in your life.
Yeah.
Get rid of the clutter.
And Lanice, as a Cancer, I would really recommend for you, when just like Kevin said, get rid of the clutter. Go into your home, maybe this weekend, and donate, sell, clean out the drawers, the closets, the stuff you don't use anymore. And when you do that, you make room for more good things to come into your life. It's weird how that works. And also, if you have not started a savings account, the biggest life lesson Cancer ever learns is to find a sense of security. And if they have a savings account or a little money tucked away someplace, it adds to their sense of security and well-being.
And for some strange reason, I get a picture that you have got a pair of shoes in your closet that you are never going to wear again. Why do you keep them?
Oh, I'm on it. It seems like everything that you all are telling me is actually going on. I have been in my garage today. I notified the Salvation Army today. I've taken things out. And it's like I'm on this constant...
Something's got to go.
Rid of stuff, so I actually did some of that today.
Good for you.
Yeah. Made arrangements with the Salvation Army and worked in my garage because I have some things piled up down there, and I have things that I'm not using, so I'm pulling them out.
Okay. So, be sure you include that pair of shoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
going to be.
I know it's there.
Okay. Merry Christmas, Lanice, to you and everyone in Tennessee.
Yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
You are. Thank you, you too.
Have
okay.
a good night.
Keep up the good work.
Bye bye.
Okay. Thank you for your help. Bye bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Keep in touch. Tell us how things go.
I will.
That was a good one.
Yes. Very intense. Shoot. Got a lot of callers. I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm trying to go back and forth, and I've been trying to keep up with the chat room, and I got so many callers in now. I'm trying to keep track of this thing because I want to give this reading away. It's 45 minutes free reading to the 10th caller. And the callers are jumping back and forth. I'm going, okay, was that number 8? Was that number 2? Okay, what was that? Okay, let's go that one.
That was number 2.
Well, there's the
but
two.
But wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Pam and Lanice.
Well, we had 2 on, and now I have 7 people. Well, actually, I have, 6 people on the line. So that's.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So I don't know if that's how I do it. I just keep track of it. It doesn't matter how many people call in, if you even talk to me. It's just when that 10th caller pops up, that's the one who gets it.
I see.
So let's take another caller. I'm trying to keep track of this because there were a couple of people that were still on that we just got done talking to. They're still there, too.
Did you do the little hang-up button to the right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to hang up on you if he does that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Got a system down. Don't mess with it.
Okay.
Okay. 682 area code. You're on the line. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
That's a good question. and generally, I'm doing great. Say hi to Kathy and Kevin.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, hello.
Hi there, sweetie pie. What's your first name?
My first name is Robin.
And my
Robin.
What state are you in?
I'm in Texas.
Texas, Kevin. And your birthday?
12-12-70.
12-10. A week from today, happy birthday, pumpkin.
Thank you.
Oh, what is that?
I think the Skype monsters are giving us an echo.
Yeah, I get that from time to time, too. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, we got an echo. Okay, now we don't. Now we don't.
Okay. See, 1210, what is that? Is that Capricorn?
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius. I always get this too confused. I'm sorry, guys. So, do you comment about the show today, or you just call to ask a couple questions?
Well, I'm calling to get some input.
Okay.
About a relationship, my marriage.
Okay.
What is making you lonely today?
My marriage.
Oh.
I see that all over my desk.
Let's go deeper than that.
You need to rectify that, and I don't quite know how yet.
Well, my husband, me and him have been separated since August. And I wanted to know if we're going to be able to restore our marriage, if it's going to be a little bit, if we're going to be able to fight for it, or I'm going to be able to hang in there, what's going on, and all that good junk.
What's his first name, Robin? What's his first name and his birthday?
First name is Arnold, and it's 8274.
Oh, Kevin, a Leo. Go, baby.
Well, I believe anything is salvageable, but I see nothing but a lot of hard work in front of you. And I don't know, judging by the center card here, I don't know if that's something you want to do. How badly do you want to do this? Do you want to work through it? Or have you?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take some counseling. You guys have to learn how to quit offending each other.
And they say things that come out of their mouth before they even think.
Learn to
communicate.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Kevin, tell her what she can do for her Mr. Leo about appreciation, what we learned at marriage boot camp.
Well, I would let me turn a card. He appreciates compliments.
Oh yeah, he does.
And more than many things.
More than gifts, well, almost as much as gifts.
Yeah,
but
he likes
more
gifts
than long conversations. He wants you to talk about him. He wants you to tell him how wonderful he is. And it may seem really lopsided because you're equally as wonderful and he doesn't give any more than he's getting. And if you want to work on this, it's time to begin with what you love about him and to tell him often. And if you think that you only have to tell him once, don't fool yourself. You have to tell him all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
look,
yeah.
Tommy, I did big boom boom. Oh, that's wonderful, Kevin. Oh, I've never seen a better boom boom.
She's not laughing, Kevin.
Oh. I am laughing.
Oh, okay. But seriously, we thrive. Leos thrive on appreciation.
Okay. And you know what? That does point him. He likes people to acknowledge him.
And as we stated before, see, the more he feels appreciated and loved, the more open he is to
giving you what
returning it in a manner that you appreciate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you know, two closed doors at loggerheads. Well, I'm not going to give you what I want because I'm not getting what I want. Well, mm-hmm. You know what?
Somebody's
got
to
give.
Yeah, somebody's got to go first.
Either that or just part the sheets now.
Right. And
I've got to give. You don't have to give it all. You know,
right.
you're not being asked to supply 100% of the relationship. But try an experiment. Try giving a little bit and see if it warms his heart a little.
You know what I always say to Kevin, Robin, because he's a Leo? I'll turn on some really great music, and we'll be dancing around the living room, and I'll say, you know why I love you? And the Leo's little tail goes up, the lion tail goes up, the ears go up, and he goes, no, why? With his big grin. And then you proceed to tell Arnold.
Yeah.
It works, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So one of the truths of life that people, it's so easy that people don't recognize it is that that people are not all that complicated. If
right.
if you find what somebody appreciates and likes, it opens doors.
And don't believe that old saying we all grew up with, Robin. Oh, you don't want to give Arnold a big head. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Somebody better.
Or Arnold's going to feel worthless.
Oh, no, most definitely. I don't have a problem giving him a big head. I love him very much, and whatever makes him feel good inside is what I would do for him.
And you have to teach him what makes you feel good inside. It may not be compliments. It may be long conversations. It may be, what were the other ones, Kevin?
Money.
It may be gifts. There's any number of things. You need to find out what you need from him so you can ask for it.
Right.
But he's Leo. He's a leader. He wants to be the head of the relationship. Let him. You start giving and then start asking for what you need.
But as I said, this is not going to be easy, and you may need to ask somebody these questions over and over again. You may need to ask
mm-hmm.
somebody professionally.
Call Psychic Journeyman and get a reading.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
call any of us.
And I understand exactly what you guys are saying. He right now he just says that he wants a divorce and he's pulling himself away, but then 2 or 3 weeks he'll pull himself in and then
that's
he'll
right.
pull himself back out. And then
he
I'm just like, well, what?
It's called pride.
Yeah, it takes a long time for a Leo to come around to something. If you mm-hmm. tell him something, it may be absolutely right, but it's not going to be true until it's his idea.
That's the truth.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the way it's going to manifest itself. So if you have a conversation with him and he doesn't warm up to it right away, don't get offended that he's not listening to you. Let him mull it around in his mind for a while.
And he does not want a divorce, I'm telling you.
Nope.
He wants a reason to stay. And you know what you love about him, and you better start saying it often, because he is His Majesty the Baby.
Yeah. I feel like when I tell him, AJ, I still love you, you know, he'll roll his eyes when he looks at me and says, oh, you know, like, I don't want to hear that, or that's offensive.
Yes, he does.
To me.
He wants proof. You love me? Show me. Give me specifics. That's what he's rolling his eyes about. She's not going to tell me why. She just expects me to believe her.
Right.
He wants to know why. He wants to know
yes,
truth.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and it's
yes.
really pretty easy.
Kevin, I think you're right about that, because he'll tell me, he'll say to me, you don't even know me. I said, I do know you. You don't know me that well. And I was like, I do know you. I've been involved with you since 95. I know you.
Oh.
And let me tell you something about that real quick. I want to throw something in here, too. The idea of what he's saying is true. You don't know him. And he doesn't know you. You're both still you're still getting to know each other. You're going to get to know each other, and it's going to take a lifetime. And,
you
and
know
like
what,
one
and you're
thing,
100% right on that.
It's just an excuse to sit here and say, you don't know me. I'm having some kind of guideline to justify what he's doing right now. So I'm just saying that sometimes in situations you have to sit there and swallow your pride and look at the guy and go, you're right. I don't know you, but I'd love to
get
to
know you. Tell me
about yourself. The problem. Why won't you get to know you? And
yeah,
let's get to know each other again, you know?
Yeah. I think I will take your advice as far as that, because I have the what you call the worry wart syndrome.
I
have that. And I'm a worry wart since I've always been 8 years old.
His insecurity feeds off of that like the plague.
And you know, you can take all that energy, Robin, you're a Sagittarius, you've got lots of energy. Instead of wasting it on worry, put it back on the on Arnold.
Okay.
It's a better use of your energy.
Yeah, and a way to rid yourself of that worry wart syndrome is the age old Benjamin Franklin, take a sheet of paper, put a line down the center and write all the good things on the right and the bad things on the left. And you'll be amazed that you got much more things on the right than you do on the left. And it'll give you an opportunity to back down from your worry wart syndrome that, like I said, he's picking up on like crazy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, our marriage is salvable as long as it's going to take a while.
Absolutely.
You initiate the compliments. You tell him why you love him. And when he rolls his eyes, put on your favorite song, dance around the room slowly and tell each other why you love him. He needs romance in his life. And when you put on favorite music and dance, that's romance.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work.
Okay.
It'll work. I don't see either one of you having somebody else in the near future. So this is definitely salvageable, but you're going to have to work for it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I think that a marriage is supposed to be worked at. I don't think it's something that doesn't. I married him for better or for worse, richer or for poorer.
Yes.
You got to feed the marriage. So therefore, yeah, you got to know each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as long as he's not a serial killer or robbing banks.
No. Not at all.
All right.
Not at all.
Then go forth and conquer, darling.
Well, thank you so much, and you guys have a blessed evening, and thank you for your time.
Oh, Merry Christmas to
pleasure.
Robin and to Texas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, I was just going to tell everybody, if you want to call in, the number is 646-721-9031. Plus, if you want to get a private reading with me, just call 937-838-6337. I'll be glad to sit down and basically go over anything you want.
Okay, you got your control panel figured out yet?
Yeah, it's just going back and forth. I was checking with the chat room. That kind of throws me off, so we'll get it all in here and stuff like that. But
so you need two screens. You need Journeyman Central.
Yeah, and I'm that I do. But the thing I was talking about before with the spirituality and sexuality is just the idea of, I think we're all looking for some kind of confirmation that we're with the right person, and sometimes it could be just the idea of transferring energy back and forth and paying attention what that means.
Hey, Psychic Journeyman, have you ever run into anybody that has said, our relationship is so easy, we never have problems?
I don't believe them.
I don't believe them either, because if there's no disagreement, it means somebody is swallowing their words.
Yes, and what I've actually done, I've had a couple of friends like that who say, you know, we have this great relationship, but then when you're around them, you do notice that certain people in the relationship, you always notice there's one of them biting their tongue all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the
or if someone claims to have this perfect, wonderful, easy, smooth relationship, 6 months from now, you hear that he's living in Vegas now.
Yeah.
And Kevin and I have the best relationship of anybody I've ever known, and we still fight.
You know, the one thing I've told a lot of people is it's amazing in this society now that with all the communicational devices we have, we still have a tough time communicating with each other and really telling each other how we really feel, which is kind of crazy because we have so many.
Why do you think that is?
People nowadays figure if there's not one of those cute little winky kissy symbols for it, then that you can't communicate. The art of communication is suffering. People don't know how to talk.
That's what it is. They're having fun. It's great to be on the internet and you sit there going, you send somebody some kisses or hearts and that kind of stuff. And then when you meet person face to face, you freak out. Because I've had a couple situations I've done myself. Where people, it's the one thing you don't count on, because I met a couple of girls who've met guys online, then meet them in person, and they're nothing like they say they were. And then, so what I'm saying on my behalf is, I go and I have a tendency to be exactly who I am on the phone or the computer or whatever, and then when they meet me, they're like, this is kind of weird. And I'm like, why so weird about it? Because you're the same.
Yeah, we were watching a show last night, Speeders, and this girl got pulled over because she was on her way to a blind date where she had met a guy on the internet, and she was complaining that she's probably going to get there and find out that he's not that attractive or that he's overweight or something. And in the same breath, she says, oh, of course, I told him I was tall and worked for a big restaurant in New York, and I'm 5'2", and I'm working for a restaurant in Podunk, Iowa. And So, you know, honesty goes both ways. And I think, like you said, the communication these days is terrible. You can hide on the Internet. You can be whoever you are. You know, don't ever call a sex talk phone line because you wouldn't like what's really on the other end of the line. But people lie, and it's with this technology, it gets easier for them to lie.
Communication, use it or lose it.
Well, absolutely.
That's the thing I was talking about. See, we're talking about the spirituality and sexuality are the same. If you think about it, and realistically, they are, because when you are really spiritual and you meet another spiritual person, sexuality seems to be easy. It's something that you're just gravitated toward doing. And I just feel like it's two energies pulling each other back. You know, it's like I said before. When I was talking about the Valentine's heart and what it means to me, where it was like a sign I got from my angel saying the heart on a Valentine's card means that's your twin flame when you were created at the top and then you go out into the world and you always end together. But it's also realizing that you were one, you were created, when you were created, you was one energy. And then you were basically split and put into two, a male and a female.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, and then so the energy is constantly wanting to be back together. Because the way I describe it, I describe like God created an energy that was a force that was so powerful and so bright, it couldn't be contained in one body. So therefore, he made a man and a woman. And then they're always attracted to each other. And if you ever looked at everybody, especially if you look at spiritual people, they're just gravitated just to wanting to be together all the time. And it's like that constant, like you want to just be one again. And it's just you're just happy and energy. Sure, you're going to fight and stuff. It's just the ideal. Not even fight and argue. It's just the ideal of putting yourself out there and then the other person and trying to get that, I guess, coordinated together.
Hey, Psychic Journeyman, can I give my viewpoint on soulmates?
Sure.
I believe that every soul comes from God.
Right?
I believe that every soul comes in with a purpose, something that it wants to learn in order to evolve the soul. The personality is what is developed when we're here on Earth. The soul is the energy that comes from God. People say that there are soulmates, or there's only one soulmate for every person. I know that a soulmate is an energy field that before you were born, you got together with. This soulmate could turn out to be your mom, it could turn out to be your lover, your husband, your best friend, your worst enemy. A soulmate's job is to help you learn the lessons your soul came in to learn. And let's take you for example, Psychic Journeyman. You're a Taurus. You came in to learn values. You came in to learn what's really important and to live a life of integrity. You have Capricorn rising. And you have Moon in Virgo, so your life's work is to discern the useful from the non-useful. Now, wherever you find your Sun, Moon, and Rising sign, it tells you what your life's purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you decide before you're born that, what was your wife's first name?
My ex-wife?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what was her name? Her name was Frances.
Okay, so Donnie and Frances got together. Their souls got together before they were ever born. And even if they were born in different years, it doesn't matter. There was an agreement, an arrangement before your soul was born that you two would find each other in this lifetime, and she would help you learn your lessons of value and worth and living in integrity and discerning the useful from the non-useful, and your soul agreed to help her learn her lessons, whatever the Sun, Moon, and Rising was. So soulmates, we think, I might have at one time thought, oh, Kevin's my soulmate. We're going to live happily ever after. We're never going to disagree. We're just going to be oblivious to any pain or heartache that may come up, and that's not what a soulmate does. You might be lucky and have that most of the time with a person, but a soulmate has come in to help you learn your lessons, and it's not always done in a pleasing, healthy way.
Yes, exactly. I believe the same. I definitely believe that myself. That's why I'm always specifying, you know, people talk about significant other. I always feel like that's a twin flame of Mm-hmm. And that's why I sent in trying to do singles. I said, do you really want a soulmate? Do you think you need some more things to learn? And they're like, what?
Yeah.
You're going to learn some things going on there. What was I going to do?
You were going to take a call.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. I'm psychic.
No problem. If 603 area code is listening right now, I'm going to take another call from somebody else, but I just want to specify if you're listening in to hang on there because you are the 10th caller that I've counted out, and you are the 10th caller, so hang in there, and we're going to take this one call and we'll get back to you. I promise. So hang in there because you won that 45-minute reading. I'm pretty sure you're going to hang on for that one. So let's take area code 63. Oh, shoot, that's 269. Sorry. 629 area code. You're on the air. How are you today?
You mean 269?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
You said, you're like me. You said 629. Anyway, I thought I had missed you guys. I had another call or whatever. I'm coming to a crossroad in my life. I've been to a certain place for like 10 years. I've learned many lessons. I'm ready to go. The catalyst is that there were almost some violence. it's not funny, but I know I don't want it to happen. So. I'm leaving, but I want to leave on a come in peace and go in peace, as you might say. So can you help me on that at all? When should I go? How should I do it?
What's your first name?
My name is Karen.
Karen, and what state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Michigan.
And your birthday?
2/25/1952.
Okay, and your significant other's first name?
I don't have one.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were saying that there's somebody you wanted to leave and you did not want
it. It's not somebody. It's something. It's a place that I've been for so long. There's people in the place, but yeah.
Psychic Maybe journeyman. I'm going to leave this to you because I'm lost.
That's one thing. That's why I was picking up where it said you can't do that. You just got to make a decision and leave because you can't please everybody. Now I know because I was thinking the same thing you're thinking of, Kathy. I thought there was a person, but now that's what made it confusing.
Well, you know what? In the beginning, it was a person. In the beginning, it was a person that brought me here. I was going through some things. The person brought me here. I thought there were going to be a relationship, but it's never going to be that. So I just stayed because there was things here that I enjoyed doing. So I just stayed. But now it's to the point where that person that brought me here is threatening physical abuse.
Okay,
and
makes sense now.
Yeah, and so they got really, really mad at me the other day, and so I don't want that to happen again and it turn into really physical violence.
Well, that's a sign right there. I feel like that's the thing is, I think to me, I would sit there and see it as a sign your angels are saying it's time to, you can't please everybody in this situation. That's exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to please everybody and you can't do that. You got to please yourself. And it's almost like you already know deep inside, just go and you'll be a whole lot better.
Yeah, I already know, but it's just that I have clothes here and they have to unlock them. I've got things here, so I just wanted to go in peace, but I am knowing that it's time to go because this has happened before, you know, and then one time it was actual physical, so I know, but I was just trying to find out a way when would be the best time to go.
I'll just say sometimes in situations you have to distinguish which is really important. You are the things that you think are important. Because I've been in situations like that, too.
At first, I was doubtful. You know, I I'm going to tell you, I was on drugs for 10 years when I came here. I was still on drugs. I had just gotten off. So I was a very weak person. Now I've been off for 10 years.
Good
so
girl.
I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to just fly and get on my own 2 feet and whatever I have to, whatever.
I feel like you should have left 5 years ago.
Yeah. I get 3 years, but
right.
You're over two. You're hanging on to your locked up clothes. Go,
Karen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. People would talk about. See, when I was living in Colorado and I wanted to go something I just felt like I needed to do, I had a storage space with my stuff in my shop in there, and the situation came up where the girl I was with, I really cared about her daughter, and her daughter wanted to become a cheerleader, and I had to make a choice. What was more important? That girl's happiness or that stuff sitting in that storage space not doing anything.
Well, you know, I left the whole house full to come here, so that's nothing like a, you know, that's nothing. I left the whole house to come
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
So.
It can all be replaced, but you can't.
No.
Yeah, go.
Okay, the young lady was getting ready to say something.
Karen, I'm gonna speak to you as someone who has also suffered at the hands of abuse, and for everybody out there listening, it was not Kevin. But I'm gonna tell you that because you are already afraid of violence, you must do something immediately. You are a Pisces. You tend to think it will get better. You tend
mm-hmm.
to hope things will improve.
Uh-huh.
The fact that you're even slightly concerned about violence means
uh-huh.
you need to get the hell out of there now. When you get
okay.
off the phone with us, I want
uh-huh.
you to either go on the internet and look up women's shelters in your city, or
uh-huh.
I want you to find them in the phone book. They will take you in. They will show you exactly how to make a new life for yourself, and your location will be kept secret. I'm telling you, there are way too many women out there who keep hoping for the best with someone who is violent and end up dead. Get out now.
All right. Okay. Okay.
You're my age.
All right.
You get out.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Karen.
Have a good night.
I'm glad she called. I hope she takes the advice, and like we were talking earlier, psychic journeyman,
uh-huh.
she may not.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to take it for what it is and give the advice, give them what they need to know, and hope they take the information and do something with it.
There's way too many men and women who've been in violent relationships
mm-hmm.
and kept thinking, well, they wouldn't hurt me. They say they love me. They say I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dead.
Yeah, I've had this one where this lady calls me up and tells me how good she is for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and said, what makes you think that? What makes you think that you're so good for him? Because my biggest concern was she attracted him and he attracted her. And he was really a mess. And then the more I focused on her, the more I started picking up that she thought by helping him, she felt it. So she didn't have to deal with her own problems. She had it, but he did. So she got mad at me because I come and tell her, she goes, I'm so good for this guy. If I could just stay with this guy, his life would change for the better.
Yeah.
And it just went on and on and on. I'm like, I told her flat out, it ain't going to happen that way until you deal with your own issues and your own inner situation going on. And she's like, I have a lot of conflict, but he needs me.
Captain Crusader Rabbit.
Crusader Rabbit.
Yep.
Exactly. So
mm-hmm.
this go to, I'm going to try to, this is the one I've been before. This is area code 603. We're going to take, I'm going to hit it again.
Do we only have 4 minutes left?
Something like that.
Okay.
I was going to tell everybody that, you know, if you want to get a private reading with me, my number is 937-838-6337.
You cut out. Say it again.
My number is 937-838-6337. Give me a call. We're having some really good specials this month because I have a special I forgot to say earlier in the show, but the thing I'm doing this month is if you want to call and get a reading with me, I'm actually giving you the opportunity to name your price, what you want to pay for it, and then you'll have an hour with me. So all I say is be fair, and that's only good for the month of December, so give me a call. Let's try 603, area code. How you doing? You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Donnie. This is Amy.
Hey, Amy. We got 90 seconds left in the show. I want to tell everybody thank you for all the people that were on the show today. It was great. I appreciate all the calls. Thank you, Kathy and Kevin, for calling in and being our guests today.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. I thought it was a very good show and loved doing another show with you guys. It was very, very enjoyable.
It was for us, too.
So, be nice if you could be, I'll just turn and ask you now if you could be on the show next Wednesday. Because we're actually having a relationship, it's about relationships. Directly.
Let's talk after we get off the air.
No problem. Thank you again for being with me today. I appreciate it, guys. And definitely look forward to working with you guys all again.
It was a fast 2 hours.
Yeah, it was.
I thought we sure were going to get more people on, but, you know. But, yeah. So, everybody, thank you for being on the show. And we'll see you all next week, Wednesday, 6 p.m. We'll be talking about romance, relationships, and how to develop a stronger relationship with your angels to improve your relationship with God. So join us for that show, and we'll talk to you guys all later. And thank you again, and you all have a good night. And may you be blessed every minute of every day. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. See ya. It was fun.
Bye-bye. Okay, Amy.
Yes, we,
I don't know if you were listening, and I don't know if you was listening, but you won a 45-minute reading with me. You're the 10th caller, so.
Alrighty then. Well, you know what? I was actually going to ask you. I told you about that class I was taking. Right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I was wondering if I could do a mediumship reading for you. But I can't do it right now. I've got kids all around me, and it'll probably be later. But
no, that sounds great.
All right.
You could do the 45-minute reading and everything there, and just I guess you would say put your kids in check.
Well, they're gonna be. I'm gonna be dropping them off with their father, probably like at 9:30, because I have one boy who's my oldest boy is at a dance right now. But after he gets out, I'm gonna run them down there, and when I get back home, I give you a call.
Did you get a chance to listen to the show today?
Yeah, I did. It was really interesting.
I know. I was like, this is really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Spirituality and sexuality, and we got a couple comments in there, but it
yeah.
just seemed like the phone lines just kicked in, and I was talking to Kathy and Kevin, and I asked Kathy about being on the show, and she said no problem.
Yep.
Psychic radio, and I was like, she's like, hey, cool, and she started following my show, so I thought, I take your advice, because I think you were talking about asking other people that were already on to be on my show, or they could be on my show or something. I remember you saying something about that.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I think probably they were, you know, anybody who called in already had their question in mind. And I don't know. It's not a subject everybody's comfortable with. I know I'm okay with it, but I know not everybody is either, so.
You're okay with it, but there are some issues you're still working on, but.
Well, yeah. As far as being open about the book, yeah.
Right.
That will be under a pen name, that's for sure. I'm not open enough to publish it under my own name. But I do have an idea for a book further down the line that
right.
I would put my name on.
I wasn't trying to pull any punches either. I was just saying, I just tell people what I feel. And
yeah.
Sensing with you, it's like you have this, there's some things you're still working on, but it's great to be honest about it too as well. So you do have you have a certain amount about the whole thing. You know, you're comfortable with everything you say and do.
There's
issues you're still working on. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Just get squared away and give me a call back later in the night, and I'll be glad to give you as much time as you want. All right.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay.
I'll talk to you maybe like probably about 10, if that's what I'm going to do.
That's great.
All right. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I know you're a night owl too, so all right. Bye now.
Yeah, that is true. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.